Good morning. Today is Tuesday.
It is.
May the 11th. Oh, it's a day. Oh, no, it's just new moon.
New moon. That means, new moon means no moon. Is that what?
I can't sliver remember. Moon.
Sliver, just a sliver?
Yeah. That's Greg Foster, noted astronomer.
Yeah. The moon's that round thing, right?
Yeah.
The one you can look at.
Right, versus the other one.
It took me years to figure that
out.
Oh,
you did? Good.
Yeah.
Explains so much.
The blindness, yeah.
Oh. Are you ready for your question this morning?
I am.
All right. Why do people say it's raining cats and dogs?
Well, I don't know. Probably has something to do with a tornado, and it's raining so hard that the cats and animals.
It all goes back to Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Something falling out of the sky. Cats and dogs have fallen out of the sky because of the tornado.
Better than Toto, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. In 17th century England, hundreds of cats and dogs ran wild through the streets that had little or no storm drainage. During heavy downpours, many of these wild animals drowned, and their bodies would be seen floating in torrents that raced through the streets. This gave the appearance that it had literally rained cats and dogs.
Wow, that's lovely.
And this led to the current expression.
Yeah. Sounds like a really nice time there.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a reason why we have water treatment plants.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. And this thing called neutering.
Yeah, that helps as well.
Yeah.
That helps as well.
Put the two together and, yeah, life gets a little bit more normalish. Oh, so what are you hearing out there as far as businesses trying to find employees? Just driving around town.
Pick
a town. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Everybody's got the sign out. need. And less than an urgency by those who don't have jobs right now.
Well, and we're kind of back to some ways the way where we were prior to the pandemic, which was also a time of, you know, very low unemployment here.
Yeah, but not as prevalent.
No, and I think it's because we have this big ramp up going on right now, and you know we need to get people back in those positions, and it's one of the topics that I've been talking about a lot lately with employers, obviously. I think there's still some hesitancy to reenter the job market from folks. I think a lot of people left the job market in terms of, let's say you were at the end of your career, you just took a year off. You're like, my retirement is probably good. Some people may be still home living off the end of their stimulus, although those, you know, the unemployment, not the stimulus checks, but the unemployment. But that's, you know, coming to an end. So we might see more people.
Is it?
Eventually. I mean,
well, yeah, okay. Yeah, over a 5-year horizon. Yes, I got that.
Well, I mean, I think that eventually, obviously, that COVID stimulus is going to, you know, the extra bonus on the unemployment will go. And, you know, people might then get back. I haven't seen the data that said that's having a huge effect. I mean, You do think sort of logically it might, but I haven't seen the data either way about, you know, how many people are waiting for that.
But empirically, it seems to be happening. You talk to folks and they try to bring, they may have laid somebody off, try to bring it back. I'm making more now than I was before.
Well, and there's also... Yeah,
restaurant industry specifically,
right,
with the guarantees.
There was an article I read, and now I'm trying to think of which where I read it, but it was talking about just... basically people deciding that they don't want to go back to those kinds of jobs at all and that there's other choices. And so, we had the short term, it's kind of funny to say short term, but it's really just been the last year of COVID. It seems like forever, right? But you have that short term impact, but we had this long term trend that was happening anyway, where we had a pretty small pool of available workers here.
Yeah, wasn't unemployment right around 5?
It was, you know, nationally. I mean,
nationally,
here we
yeah.
were getting under, close to, down to around 3.
Three and a half.
Yeah, and so, your labor market was becoming unhealthy anyway. And what's interesting to me is that in 2006 or 7, right around then, and I wrote a column on talking about this for the Times Standard that long ago, that I think it was the Kansas City Fed or one of the Federal Reserve Banks put out this paper talking about the looming labor shortage as a result of basically the demographic shift and the aging out of the baby boomers in retirement. Now, that got delayed because, you know, in 2006, 2007, we're talking about, and I think their stat was for every two workers retiring, only one's entering the labor force. And so they said, you know, the biggest issue going forward will be labor shortage. Well, that
and then the
got sidetracked, right? And so people lost their retirements, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so they ended up extending their time in the labor force. Well, at some point you know, I mean, that was, what, 13, 14 years ago.
You can delay, but you can't avoid.
At some point you just decide, I'm old enough, you know, I got to stop. And, you know, the stock market recovery that's been going on, for years now, I think has gotten people to the point where they're also leaving the labor market. So, it'd be interesting that, I'm really interested in the sort of the demographics of it. And you know, are we just going to have enough people? And there's people moving around a lot now. I mean, we're seeing people coming up here bringing jobs with them, the remote workers and that sort of thing.
Bringing jobs, but not bringing employees. So there's
bringing their own jobs,
compounding.
Right? Yeah,
yeah.
Well, and so housing is a big issue, and I had a conversation with.
Wait! You're not going to springboard into housing quite yet.
I am. No, because I'm tying it together.
Well, I know. I can see the trans. I see the bridge.
Right.
We're coming up to it, but the thought that I had with the employment perspective is that there was a push towards automation,
right?
Because of Newsom or whoever, the state of California bumping up to $15 an hour, and that's going to suck up a huge percentage of a lot of labor jobs today.
Right.
Just you can't make the nut.
Right.
So you got to do something. Automation seems to be the way to go with it. Raising prices didn't really seem to be the way to be able to to take care of that
situation.
You have
two ways to deal with that lack of margin, if you want to call it that. One is, increase the margin through revenue or increase the margin through dropping of expenses.
All right. Now we can take our break.
Yes.
Yeah. We finally got that pearl of wisdom.
There you
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster. Okay, we're now at the bridge where we're going to be talking about housing. Part of the challenge, obviously, is to get employees. Part of the challenge is to get jobs. Okay,
right.
And then for those folks that are qualifying on both, it's shelter.
Yes.
Okay, we've talked about housing being infrastructure for the last couple of years. We've talked about the lack of housing. We've talked about Sonoma County and some of the burned over areas, that's where a lot of the manufacturers, if you will, the craftsmen, are going, not having anybody around here. And the only things that are being built are government assistance.
Yeah.
Whether low income or like the thing that's on 4th Street, targeted to a specific group where there's governmental funding,
right, CHITS.
Or what, I know that there's credits, I guess is
Voucher,
the right word,
yes. Yeah.
and then student housing.
Right.
I mean, Kramer's done a great job over in Arcata punching out a whole bunch.
Right.
It doesn't help out a whole lot of the housing challenges that Eureka has for employees or for the non-academically inclined
part of their life. When you build housing for students, then that frees up other housing for other folks.
Theoretically, yeah, but there doesn't seem to be a glut of available locations in McKinleyville and Arcata right now.
No, no.
And the school hasn't even been more than half open.
Right, right. Although it was interesting, what I heard was a lot of students, even though they were doing distance learning, were still staying in Arcata.
Yeah, the juniors and seniors, I'd heard that, but the freshmen and sophomores went back home.
I mean, why would you want to move back home? You know, you're having a good time in Arcata. But, you know.
So it just hasn't worked out the way that they were talking.
You know, in California in general, the housing market is broken. And when I use that market, you know, I use that market word because, you know, if we're spending, you know, if the only way we can get housing built is with huge government spending, then obviously there's a problem with market.
Well, in our area, but down south, it's regular game on.
Almost. Well, yeah.
But there's more margin.
I mean, part of our problem is just, you know, we have a simple geography problem in some sense here, especially in the city of Eureka, right?
But cutting, you know, out towards Ridgewood.
Right.
There's properties around the McKay track. There's properties, or I guess the ball field.
Right.
There's properties, but...
But not thousands of acres. I mean, I see some of these...
Oh, no, no.
When I was down in the valley...
We're not going to have 50,000 homes.
Right, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. You could say, well, we're building a 900-unit subdivision.
We've never done that.
Not here.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, down the valley, though, it was just like, boom. You know? And so But even there, they're struggling now. You know,
to sell or to have the inventory?
Both. I mean, not sell.
Create.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And, you know, I'm part of a rural exchange that's a bunch of economic development people from small counties throughout the state. And, you know, the counties are very different. We have some of us have very different political views from everybody else. But with but one of the things we were all saying in these small towns was, small communities was, you know, housing being a huge issue, and it's directly tied to that labor force issue, and you know, so much of it's about scale, right? So we've made it so expensive to build, and it's not just the building codes. But there's a lot of being added in the building codes that adds a lot of expense, but not a lot of value.
Fees.
But you know the time between starting the process and ending the process, and the money you spend, and all that at risk capital before you even get to the point where you can get a permit, right? And
yeah, you haven't thrown any dirt in the air yet,
right? Right. And so when you're doing those on one offs, you know, you got to decide, well, is this even worth doing? It's a lot of risk, and but you know, when you have big, large planned unit subdivisions, and that risk is mitigated, and you can do it. So, let's bring it back home. It's a huge issue here, and I've talked to employers over the last week who said, literally told me, we're losing workers, or have lost workers because they just can't find the housing that they want or need, and. And when you start hearing that and you kind of remember back a year and a half ago when we were down in that 3% range of unemployment, and now, you know, I have an agent that I'm on a call with once or twice a week, a local real estate agent, part of a group that we talk about housing. And, you know, every time I ask her, you know, how many units on the market right now? And
125, 140. 125,
130, maybe 150 on a good week. But days on the market, I looked at the Humboldt Association Realtor. The median days on the market is 11.
I was mentioning that to Ann yesterday. We were driving around after dinner. Said, you know, that house looks suspicious. She said, how come? Because the sign's been out for 2 weeks and it's not been sold yet.
Can you imagine?
Something is wrong.
I mean, I've sold a couple houses here, you know. And it was, you know, we'd be, and this is quite a while ago, but...
Three, four months.
I remember selling. Yeah, it was months. It's like, well, get it on the market in winter, and then by end of summer, you know, you might have a.
Yeah.
and now we've, you know, my office manager was talking about a house behind her, and she was talking to someone and said, oh, yeah, the house is going on the market. And by the time the person she called, because the other, you know, they were interested in a place for their mother, it already had it been pending.
it's
what you get for waiting for a day.
And then. Know? The escalator also.
Right.
The bids. Well, and I heard somebody bid local house, I don't know, price point, $50,000, and it sold for $100,000 over the initial asking price. I mean, things like that are just, well, they make for interesting conversation that we'll have when we come back.
Exactly.
Oh, you like
good.
That one?
Perfect.
All right,
well
it's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Foster from REDEC. I don't know if I introduced you.
We got into the discussion of the calendar and drowning
right.
cats and dogs.
Floating.
Yeah, floating, drowned cats and dogs. For those of turning in late.
Yeah. Greg's from REDEC, one of the sponsors of the show. Greg, as you look at some of the housing challenges that there are, yeah, you mentioned the Valley. Yeah, there's lots of stuff there because there's been an economic vibrancy for a period of time.
Well, that and,
okay.
And there, yeah, bedroom communities.
Yeah, yeah. and we've got bedroom communities, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Ferndale is one. McKinleyville is one. Yeah, okay. But we haven't seen the construction. You know, and I, at least in that type of
right.
development. You know, we've got Scotia trying to sell houses. We've got Danny Johnson trying to do his thing out on the spit. A couple of buildings that are going up, but it's not pacing with the demand.
Right.
And we still have got a static population. So if we start, and I know California lost
right.
800,000 people over the last sure. period, but if we start experiencing the growth that it seems the marketplace is wanting,
right.
the relocates coming here. And then others wanting to stay here. We're not ready. We're not ready on so many levels.
Right.
Housing being one of them, streets being another one. I would suggest even retail. I mean, you look at some of the major retail areas and, you know, shoot a cannon and you might hit somebody.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. You know, it's and it's interesting because we had a conversation a while back. I was talking to someone that worked for the city of Eureka. And trying to explain, you know, why housing was becoming so acute even a number of years ago, but the population is relatively stagnant. And I said, well, you know, you can have a relatively stagnant population and still have a decline in housing. You have housing that's falling off because we have a lot of really old housing. But I even think about my own family, right? So we all grew up in one house. In Southern Humboldt, we now occupy 1, 2, 3, 4 houses, right? My house, my son has a place.
Population the same.
Yeah, my parents have the same, yeah. And my sister and her husband have a place.
Yeah, so, I think the density is probably less than what it was before.
Right, right. So, you know, we're you know, that family of five that was in one house because a number of them, the good ones stayed. My other son left the area and went to college outside.
But you've also got 4 or 5 cars now where before there was 1 or 2.
Right, exactly.
You know, so we've got the
so even with a somewhat
some of the
stagnant,
challenges, yeah.
Right, the demographic shift as a result, even with a somewhat stagnant population. But now, you know, we're seeing clearly people moving in
now, are the people moving in wanting to be homeowners or do they want apartments? I mean, our guys are not inclined to buy a house. They don't
right,
want the upkeep
right.
and the maintenance and et cetera,
yeah.
that an apartment is more towards their where they are now in their life.
Right.
You look around apartments, if you're not, you know, going to school, or let's say if you're over 30
right.
and you don't want some of the games, where do you go?
Well, and that's critical here, you know, just to start, right? And, you know, I suspect the housing choices is sort of like a bell curve. You kind of start with the apartments, you move up, and then you move back down. And then at the end of, you know, as you get older, it's like, why am I taking care of all this crap? You know?
Right.
It's kind of where I'm heading right now. But you know, the multifamily here, you know, so much of the multifamily is, you know, being dominated by students, say, in Arcata. We have a lot of really sort of old apartments here that are just not being invested in, which is unfortunate.
That's kind of the theme of a lot of the properties. The older ones, I'm thinking some of the Craftsman, you know, the 30s, 40s, 50s.
Right.
You look at those homes and, you know, I don't know if it's out of area ownership. That's part of
it's
also?
It's all the above. Some of it's local owners.
Because there's a lot of empty houses, too, that aren't for sale. They're just not occupied.
Yeah. And, you know, so we have a quantity and a quality problem, and we need to address both. And, you know, there's incentives. I mean, I'm more of a carrot guy than a stick guy, but there are sticks you can employ to, property owners are.
But you don't want to have to do that.
No, because it's you know, you kind of rely, you know, I mean, I guess I'm a cockeyed optimist at some level still. You try to rely on the better angels of the people that own these properties. And unfortunately.
Or even just ROI.
Right.
I mean, if these properties are selling and they're selling at these higher than yesterday prices.
Right.
Boy, you throw $10,000 into, you know, a little bit of paint job, a little bit of, you know, cleaning up, whatever it is.
Right.
And you're going to realize multiples of that in what, 11 days?
Yeah. 10 well,
days?
Yeah, if you're selling.
Whatever
right.
it is. Yeah. Yeah.
And well, and it's, you know, the other issue we have right now is, you know, we don't have that many builders of size in Humboldt County can take on big projects. Well, there's a number of them, but they're all booked. I mean, you know, I've been talking to them as well, and they're like, we're scheduled out as far as we can go with construction projects, both commercial and residential. A good sign, again, you know, that people are spending money.
But also a scarcity sign.
It's a sign of scarcity.
Yeah.
And they're talking about, you know, we can't get, you know, people to come work for us. We need more trades, and, you know, College of Redwoods and some of the others are putting in more trades programs, but
not to keep pace with the demand.
Right.
What about, you know, back when we both had hair and were full of ideas,
vim and vigor?
Yeah, the artist live workspace.
Right.
I mean, that boy, for 10 years, that was the hottest thing in the world. Old Town, they were going to waive all the parking. They were going to do this and do that. And there's a lot of empty second-story apartments or locations that could be having residents that aren't. Was that just a trend?
I think there's demand for those second stories, but unfortunately, when you look at some of them, they've been, you know, not either been neglected or just not brought up to code in 20 or 30 years. And the property owners are okay with that. And so that's where I think we need to figure out how to, you know, go to these property owners and sit with these buildings that are either completely empty or empty on the second or third floors and say, you know, what's it going to take for you to invest in this building? And I, you know, I can walk around.
Of course, you need contractors and carpenters.
Well, that's the other thing.
Make that happen. So
right.
That, you
but,
know.
But, you know, some of them are, quite honestly, they're owned by, you know, people who are older than us, certainly, and just may not want to.
The
have
hassle.
To go through the hassle.
Yeah,
it's a building they've inherited or owned forever.
Well, that's what I was saying. Yeah. You know, if the hassle factor is so high, how do you eliminate the
how
hassle?
How do you make it easier? Right.
Topic for the next segment when we come back.
There we go.
It's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back with Greg Foster. Greg, as you look at some of the different challenges that are out there, motivating the unmotivated is tough.
Always.
It's
spoken like a true parent.
Yeah. I was thinking more of some of the properties that are out there that could really benefit the community could benefit, the property owner could benefit, right, when we talk about housing. Is there a way that some cities have been able to, not facilitate, because it's not, really not their job to do it,
right,
but to make it so easy that, what was the line, even a caveman could do it?
Exactly.
Are there tricks like that that some of your buddies in some of these other small rural areas are doing that's kind of pushing this thing through?
You know, it's yes. I mean, on the margins, unfortunately, especially in the rural areas, again, you don't have a lot of scale. And unfortunately, in rural areas, you don't have a lot of, I mean, I'm talking with some real small communities that, you know, just don't have the staff to even, you know, they're right.
Well,
one person.
We've got the pressures, and we're certainly not lacking in government staffing.
Well, and
or nonprofit. I
right.
mean, if that's
but I think
the
that
avenue.
You know, you know, if the city was to, you know, sit down with, do the, you know, and I think Eureka's doing some of this already, but and I'm not as familiar with other towns. I know that Arcata, you know, they're putting together this whole plan to, I'm trying to remember what they call it, but it's this whole reuse redevelopment plan for K Street, just south or west of K Street, in the behind the old Cow Barrel property, and that's a dated reference, but
below the bluff.
Yeah, right.
Yes,
but it's this big old industrial area that's not being reused and underutilized, and they're putting together a very specific plan there that they hope will spur development of housing and other things. But I think, you know, nothing is better than certainty in business, right? And I think we need to, you know, there's so much risk to going forward to some of these projects that, you know, by not, you know, and cost that we need to look at all of those things and say we need to reduce the cost to provide housing. We need to reduce the time and increase the certainty, right? And so...
Well, I would think that the time factor is probably the easiest of those three. How do we process it through faster? I mean, I don't know. I've not done. I don't know if you've done one of those marijuana permits.
I have not.
Okay. But... there was a big emphasis to push that stuff through quickly.
Right, right.
Designate one or two people instead.
Right.
Why couldn't one or two be designated for new home construction?
Right.
Or new residence construction.
Right, right.
That's it and that's it. And
go for it.
They work and they monitor and they advise and they consult and they do whatever it takes to
and pre-permit,
compress that timeline.
Right. Say, okay, this property, we're going to pre-permit this, right? Or we're going to allow you to do density bonuses or, you know, all sorts of things that just make it easier. I think.
And that's normal for these folks.
Right.
I mean, we're not asking or thinking of doing something extraordinary.
No.
It's just doing it in advance.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. You know, we did it with industrial parks, right? You know, you build an industrial park, each site is pre-permitted and all that and publicly owned. Well, you know,
same concept for a residential development or a neighborhood.
Right. I mean, the bottom line is this. We want to make it, you know, we need housing. We need housing of all types. And what are we going to do to reduce the cost, time, and effort to get from point A to point B? And again, adding a lot of cost to the process without any value to the property.
It's de-emphasizing.
It gets rid of your margin, right? And so you decide, well, I'm just not going to do it. And
let's get rid of all the incentives.
You know,
who's going to bother with it?
Well, and they're so complicated that some folks just, you know, especially smaller builders, just don't want to even try to attempt it.
So if you have any ideas, call Greg.
No, yeah. I'm not the housing guy.
At least
guy.
You'll know how to direct it.
I'm still a small business lender.
Yes, yes. Well, we'll do our best to convert.
There you go.
Multiple use.
Perfect.
Sorry, there we go.
Perfect.
All right. See everybody tomorrow.